Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. The American Mosaic Virtual Jazz Festival in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is go for the next three Saturdays in April, the 9th, 16th, and 23rd. For more information, chambermusicpittsburgh.org. On Friday, April 29th, the Newark City Council of New Jersey will rename the street Park Place after saxophonist, NEA jazz master, and Newark native Wayne Shorter. It's the street on which the nonprofit radio station, WBGO 88.3 FM, resides. For more information, wbgo.org. Upcoming performances taking place this evening, April 7th. Saxophonist Eric Person and his quartet at the Bearsville Jazz Club in Woodstock, New York, 7 p.m. For more information, bearsvilletheater.com/jazz. Inside of the Miller Theater at Columbia University in New York City, composer portraits with saxophonist and sound experimentalist Matana Roberts with an ensemble. For more information, millertheater.com. Vocalist and multi-instrumentalist Leo Sedrin and a full band will be at Barb's in Brooklyn, New York, performing material from his most recent release, The Art of the Conversation, as well as songs from his upcoming release. For more information, barbsbrooklyn.com. Upcoming shows at the Jazz Gallery in New York City. Tonight, the Roy Hargrove Big Band. Tomorrow night, Friday, April 8th, vibraphonist Chris Dingman's Journeys album release concert. And also on Saturday, April 9th at the Jazz Gallery, vocalist Arta Jacobson. All shows, two sets. For more information, jazzgallery.org. Vocalist Catherine Russell performs tomorrow night, Friday, April 8th, at the Maudlin Center for the Arts in Richmond, Virginia, and then April 14th through the 17th at Jazz Alley in Seattle, Washington. For more information, catherinerussell.net. Saxophonist Steve Slagle is on tour in support of his new release, Ballads, Into the Heart of It, on Panorama Records. He's at Clements Place in Newark, New Jersey, tomorrow night, Friday, April 8th, with Keith Brown on piano, Ugana Okegwo on bass, and Byron Landham on drums. For more information, facebook.com/ClementsPlaceJazz. At Birdland in New York City, inside of Birdland Theater, Friday, April 8th through Sunday, April 10th, vocalist Roberta Gamberini. And inside of Birdland Jazz Club on Sunday, April 10th, vocalist John Minock's CD release show for Simplicity. Joining his group will be saxophonist Dave Liepen. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. Upcoming gigs for Hudson Valley of New York guitarist Joe Finn. On Sunday, April 10th, he and his quintet play at the Albany Jewish Community Center in Albany, New York. For more information, albanyjcc.org. He and bassist Pete Toigo perform at the Blue Plate Restaurant in Chatham, New York, every other Monday from 6 to 9 p.m. Their next date, April 18th. For more information, chathamblueplate.com. And the Joe Finn Quintet are part of the Jazz Vespers performance at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady, New York. For more information, frcschenectady.church. And for more information on Joe Finn, joefinn.net. MGP Live presents the Grammy-winning, genre-bending 8-Bit Big Band at the Berklee Performance Center in Boston, Massachusetts on Saturday, April 9th. For more information, berklee.edu/BPC. On Sunday, April 10th in the afternoon, bassist Michael Bizio and his quartet perform at the Lace Mill in Kingston, New York, celebrating their new album, M Before, on Teo Forms. For more information, bizio@earthlink.net. And that evening, vocalist Brianna Thomas performs at The Falcon in Marlborough, New York. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, Friday, April 8th, pianist Yves Lavelle's L'Echelle du Temps on Effendi, pianist Cameron Graves' Live from the Seventh Sphere on Mack Avenue, and drummer and composer Clemens Grassman's self-released Grass Machine. Other new releases that are already out: trumpeter Grace Fox's 1107 on Next Lever, Blue Collar, saxophonist John Dykeman, pianist Pat Thomas, bassist John Edwards, and drummer Steve Noble's Volume 1 on 577, and producer and mixer Daniel Venom Monix Persistence on Far Out Recordings. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. And now for some music. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
From saxophonist and composer Melissa Aldana with the tune Amelia, from her debut release on Blue Note Records, 12 Stars, inspired by the symbols and tradition of tarot. Leij Lund on guitar, Sullivan Fortner on piano, Pablo Maneras on bass, and Kush Abade on drums, with the CD artwork by vocalist Cecile McLaurin-Silvant. Tonight, Thursday, April 7th, Melissa Aldana performs at the University of Michigan. For more information, melissaaldana.net. Ben Rosenblum, who celebrated a birthday on March 29th, from his 2020 release, Kites and Strings, we heard the title tune. This is Rosenblum's third album as a leader, his first featuring him on both piano and accordion, and the debut of the Ben Rosenblum Nebula Project. He begins his West Coast tour tonight, April 7th, at Jazzville in Palm Springs, California. For more information, benrosenblummusic.com. And we started off the set in 1955 with pianist Duke Jordan from his Savoy release, Trio and Quintet. We heard Night in Tunisia. Percy Heath on bass and Art Blakey on drums. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com, info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hey guys, this is Colin Meyer from Joyride, and you're with Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties of New York, and online at wgxc.org.
My interview is with guitarist, composer, performer, clinician, radio host of WBAA's Night Shift at Purdue University in Indiana, and small business owner Brent Laidler. His new release is titled Wouldn't Be Here Without You on Bell Records. Mark Buscelli on trumpet and flugelhorn, Ned Boyd on saxophones and flute, Jamie Newman on organ, Scott Pizzera on bass, and Richard Sleepy Floyd on drums. So thank you for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here, Cheryl.
So let me speak with Brent Laidler, the guitarist, about his new release, Wouldn't Be Here Without You, on Bell Records.
Okay.
Musically and cosmically, where does this fit into your discography?
Well, obviously, it's the latest release, and it pulls material. Some of it is from written in the past, but a lot of the new material specifically was written with people in mind that I wanted to acknowledge and thank for their influence on my musical journey and evolution.
You relate in the promo material that the first half of this project was recorded before COVID-19 shut things down, but then the concept of the release changed. Will you please tell us why?
My father had been in cancer hospice for a year, and the trip from Indiana to Michigan is about 4.5 hours one way. And I went to see him so many times that the the drive time in the car it gives you the opportunity to grieve in advance, and you go through all the stages and finally hit acceptance by the time my brother did call to let me know that he was gone. And I had seen him through the process of his treatment, and so it was a blessing at the end that he didn't linger. The very next day, my musical mentor and the retired director of the Black Cultural Center at Purdue University, his name's Tony Zamora, his wife Betty called and let me know that he had passed away, just back to back, one day after another. And I had already recorded sort of a tribute song for Tony back in 2013, that was a guitar and tenor sax duet with Randy Salmon. And so rather than do anything as specifically tribute for Tony, I just decided I wanted to acknowledge everybody, because I've always had the position that I can learn something from everyone, because everybody knows something that I don't. And so that just made me say, I just want to recognize all of the people that had influence over time on the journey, and just when the new material mixed with the old material that we had already recorded, it was just easy to put them in a nice order and have a good flow to the project. And even the stuff that I had written before, because of my influences, it was easy to recognize the people that influenced me even before I decided to do that with the project.
And on this release, it's the same ensemble minus one player that played on your previous release, No Matter Where Noir. That's very cute. I like that.
That's correct.
I guess they were that good that you asked them back.
That really is the best people that I have access to, just literally. Mitch Shiner, the vibraphonist who was on that earlier CD, he's in Milwaukee now. We're already talking about another project where he will be involved in some of the songs, and he's going to record in Milwaukee. And then we'll be able to mix it all together in Indianapolis. So we have another one that's in the works, but it just takes a couple of years to write the material
right,
and then get into the studio.
And who are the other players?
Well, Ned Boyd is one of my best friends. He was the middle school band director that had all three of my children in band. He is a fantastic professional musician. And people have always asked, as a band director, why is he at the middle school? And I would say, because he's done at 3 o'clock and he doesn't have to work weekends. he spends a lot of time in pickup groups, you know, where he's played with the Temptations and all of the traveling bands that hire local contract musicians for their area shows. So just a list of people: Four Tops, Barry Manilow, Frank Sinatra Jr. He's also the Barry sax person for the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra, which is pretty significant. Mark Buscelli is one of the co-founders of that group. And it's really funny because I met Mark as a client for my business. He comes in for repair. And at this moment, we have kind of a deal where we trade time. I give him all my professional services, and he doesn't pay for having any of his instruments fixed. And when I need him in the studio, he'll be there.
That's a good trade.
It's also nice because he sends me all of his students for service as well. Oh, and the rest of the people are actually local to Lafayette. Scott Pizzera is actually my jazz teacher. I had played guitar as a hobby, and trumpet was my main instrument all the way through school and into my 30s. After I got TMJ syndrome, I was no longer able to play the trumpet. So I started to focus on guitar at that point and played blues for over 10 years. And then when I decided I wanted to try jazz, I went to Scott, and he's a fantastic teacher, and he's the one that got me started. So I always call Scott when he's available. Jamie Newman is in town because his wife is a professor at Purdue. And he's an amazing talent on just about any keyboard you can throw at him. He's gifted on piano. He's got this this organ that he uses, which is vintage, which gives us sounds like a Wurlitzer and a Fender Rhodes, and some other things. But we focused on the B3 organ settings for this particular recording. And Sleepy Floyd, the drummer from Indianapolis, we actually met at an open jam session several years ago. And it was the jam sessions where I take new tunes that I've written and vet them. And so there was one night where I had written what would be the title track to No Matter Where New Are. And we were at the open jam session. I handed everybody the chart. I had asked Ned if he would come and play it because I wrote that specifically for Ned. And it was one of those magic moments, all of us mm-hmm. together on the stage. And we got done playing and we looked at each other and we said, oh yeah, we're going to have to record this. We're going to have to make a CD. So that was where the first one started. And then the second one is just a continuation. Prior to that, I'd been writing films for a small company in Los Angeles, both TMG5 artists and Westlake Signal Group. The great bulk of that is more than half computer generated with some live audio tracks mixed in. So the 2017 project, No Matter Where New Are, was the first time I had a full live band in a studio.
And now let me speak with Brent Laidler of Brent's Bench Incorporated, band instrument repair. Hello. <Right. laughs> How long have you been in business? And would you please tell us the most eye-rolling self-repair that you had to fix?
Oh, boy. I have been in Lafayette for almost 35 years. I worked for a band and orchestra retailer for 16 years who went out of business in 2003, at which I became independent. And my repair bench that I built in 91 when I was working for the retailer is where the name of the store comes from, because it was Ned, in fact, that said, make sure everybody knows where Brent's Bench ends up after the retailer closed. We service the schools in Tippecanoe New County, which is a great place to land if you're in this industry, because it also includes Purdue University. So between Lafayette and West Lafayette City Schools, a large county school corporation with two high schools and six middle schools, and Purdue University, there are about 4,500 students in band in Tippecanoe New County. That doesn't count choir and orchestra. So it's a very mutually beneficial relationship that we have with them. And I'm really proud of our clientele. And my position on the jazz club board is the student education and outreach liaison. And I'm the administrator for the Tony Zamora Scholarship for high school jazz musicians. And so in the course of my day job, because I am in all the schools, it's just a no-brainer. So we're working on bringing the next generation of players along and supporting them in their journeys.
And that repair.
Oh, the repair. Oh my goodness. Boy, I see things. I thought after so many years, I have seen everything, but it's just this last week, I've seen two things that I'd never seen before. But more often than not, it's like when a student has a problem and dad takes it out to the garage.
Yes.
And that's problematic. Some people have asked me what's the most expensive instrument that I have ever worked on. And that would be the 18 karat solid gold flute that Pamina Bloom plays. She was here in Lafayette for a few years while her husband was getting an advanced degree at Purdue. And she's probably the most gifted musician I've ever been in the same room with. It's amazing to hear her play. But that flute, when I actually looked up how much that it costs, I had to go run around the block a few times just to let off steam because it was like, oh,
too funny.
Thank you.
me check in with Brent Laidler, the host of The Night Shift on WBAA at Purdue University that airs on Saturday nights from 11 p.m. to midnight. Mm-hmm. When you first started hosting a show, did you work from your own library or was WBAA's jazz library comprehensive?
I didn't have access to their library. I already had a pretty extensive collection on my own. And so I started there. It was in the middle of the pandemic, and I didn't have access to the studio. So all of my programs are recorded at home in my home studio, and I upload them, and my technician guy over there downloads them and gets them on the air. So I have not been inside the studio since the show began, except to go pick up CDs that were mailed to the station for me to listen to for potential airplay.
You're a young programmer.
I'm brand new. My first show was the first Saturday in January of 2021. So I just recorded my 69th episode this morning.
Oh my God. Are you still loving it?
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever crossed paths with David Brent Johnson. He's a friend of mine down in Bloomington, at Jacobs School of Music at IU. And I reached out to him when I first agreed to do this. And I said, is there a way to do this without getting overwhelmed? And he said, if you figure it out, let me know.
But this leads into my next question. As a radio programmer and a performer, what do you find frustrating about some of the music submissions that the radio station receives?
That's a great question, because that ties right into one of my other good close personal friends is Brent Wallerab from the BSLA Wallerab Jazz Orchestra. And he does the big bands and teaches writing and arranging at Jacobs School of Music. And when I started talking to him about things that I was learning as a programmer, he said, like what? And what would you tell students who are going into jazz that want to become artists that get radio play? So we actually kind of put a little synopsis together of something that he could present to his class. And I think you don't want to ruffle too many feathers. I mean, everybody's music is special to them. And that's great. If you have a following and you have people that come to your shows and buy your CDs, that's fantastic. But I think that you need to realize the level of competition once you get into radio, which I had no idea until our first rodeo back in 2017. Kate taught me an awful lot. She's been super supportive as I've learned and grown with my own show over the last year. And so the pitfalls that you can get into are something as simple as having all your songs be too long. You know, I have 59 minutes that I have to hit exactly. And it has to be a really remarkable song that's over 10 minutes for me to put it on my show, because I have to cut somebody else out and put yours in two slots. And so just things like that, or trying to be just kind of too out there, because if I'm matching, if I want to have a set of female vocalists and I've only got two and I need to find a third one somewhere, I'm looking back through everything that I got in to try and find a set of three songs that are alike so that I can put them together and build a set for the show, just like a set list for a concert, you know, or when you're doing a live gig, you want to have a natural flow to the order of songs that you do. And so if you're sending me something where you just got so far out that it's so unusual that I can't hitch it to anything else and make a set, it's difficult to try and put that into a show. So those kind of things are just kind of like rookie mistakes. I mean, it's just, you got to understand what the market is. And then of course, there's always the fact that you'll get a CD in the mail that you just listen to it and say, I'm sure there are people that love this, but I can't put it on the program, especially in context of other music which happens to be of higher caliber. Because sometimes what that would do for someone is to just point out that they're not at that level yet by comparison. So I really want to support the people who are unsigned and self-released and do their own promotion. And there's a lot of people like that. We have a fantastic scene in the Indianapolis area. And so some of those people that I know or that I've jammed with at an open jam, you know, I'll be able to give them a little bit of airplay. I'm in contact with the Midwest. I know several of the jazz studies professors at several Big Ten and Mac schools here in the area. And I'm constantly asking them to send me CDs of their big bands, because big bands are by far underplayed these days. So it's kind of neat to see people like Ian Charlton, Tom Kubas, the Diva Jazz Orchestra, yep. Grace Fox, you know, her new CD is fantastic. And so, you know, when I can put together, sometimes I do a whole show of nothing but big band.
As of February 9th, Metropolitan Indianapolis Public Media and WFYI Public Broadcasting, operated by Metropolitan Indianapolis Public Media, assumed operations and management of WBAA Radio AM and FM from Purdue University.
When WBAA actually sold they're now under the umbrella of WFYI out of Indianapolis, but I replaced John Zimbrick. I have been great friends for years and years and years with Don Siebold, who retired about 6 years ago. And so Richard Miles was the only person left that was doing a locally programmed show. So I asked Greg Estraba, the station manager, if he would consider another jazz program. And he said, hey, just make me a demo and I'll tell you what I think. So I recorded a show, not knowing a whole lot about it. And then he gave me some feedback and he told me what to fix. And then I fixed it and sent it to him again. And he said, okay, give me three in the bank and your first show will start on first Saturday in January 2021. And then the station sold and Richard retired. And within a short span of months, I went from the new kid on the block to the keeper of the flame. And having lived in Lafayette for so long and knowing the history of jazz at WBAA, it was some heavy shoes to try and fill, but I hope that as I continue to learn, I can just keep the tradition at the high level that people are used to.
Music, mayhem, and motivation.
Oh my gosh, you found that somewhere.
Yeah. Music, mayhem, and motivation, making the best of situations. You dispense some heartfelt words of encouragement to musicians of all levels. Why did you add that to your website?
That was a podcast I did about 4 years ago. I was interviewing musicians, and what we discussed were the things that being a musician helped you in your daily life. It began, and I got so frustrated one time because I was going to a meeting of people who were not musicians. And we ended up having the same meeting 3 months in a row because people were not prepared and they didn't learn and they didn't do their work at home. And I just at one point got frustrated and I said, you know, this is a reason that music should be mandatory in school. And they said, why? And I said, when I get the opportunity, although it's very rare when they need a string player, the Lafayette Symphony will call me. And 2 weeks before the gig, I go down and pick up my music. And then I prepare everything at home. And then we show up on Wednesday and we have a rehearsal on Wednesday. And then we learn the areas that we need to go home and practice and polish. And then we go have another rehearsal on Friday where we apply the polish. And then we play concert on Saturday night like we've been doing it for years. And that's how musicians work as a unit. You know, 7 o'clock doesn't mean wander in at 7:05 with a cup of coffee and wander over the donut table. It means be in your seat with your music, pre-prepared and ready to go at 7 o'clock. And so these life hacks that these musicians, you know, they're like, oh, I handle my time management like this, or I handle my organization like that, or I handle this like that. And it is all based on being a musician that actually makes you more organized and more successful in life. And so Music, Mayhem, and Motivation was the title of the podcast, in which we were explaining how music sort of gets you through the crazy part of the day, and then, you know, motivates you to be more successful at the end.
For more information, brettlaidler.com. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you. We'll be right back.